Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, John? Man, don't change that sound. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that sound. Wiggling.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio always works that on Friday night. West West, y'all.
New Orleans. Ain't none. Ain't none.
Honorary members.
Ain't no city like mine.
Rear view, see shit with a clear view. Vibed out with a bad bitch, ass is falling my mirror jeans. Superdome in the skyline, shit is so near and dear to me. AD was sliding out, this cool, we got Zion now. Sad but true, when niggas feud, issues get gun ironed out. We gave them bling bling, we gave them body body. Culture so attractive that the whole world idolized it. French Quarter festivals, you know how S's go. The whole city come together like a sectional. Super Sunday whips out, that extra drip out. That Bayou Classic traffic, where anything can happen. Same place that gave you Soldier Slim, gave you Peyton Manning. We can either show you love, or we can break commandments. Mardi Gras can get excited, ain't a city like it. Just some different type shit, you heard me?
Ain't no city like mine.
If you ain't rapping like more nigga, then get to step in. Superdome, New Orleans Saints. Like Zion Williamson, I'm in a place. King K, shout out to Martin Luther. Them Black Lives Matter, baby, we all closer. Second lines, yeah, we be bus jumping. I'm a N.O. nigga, baby, no, I'm a stuntin'. On the lakefront, on Sundays, we be flashing cars. Rest up the Comac fly, man, I miss my job. Ain't no city like the NOLA, baby. And we don't have girlfriends, no, we have old ladies. Our lingo different, that's what make us different. They don't understand us, but them bitches listen. Ain't no city like mine, I put that on the Bible. We look up to drug dealers, we don't have no idols.
Ain't no city like mine.
Ain't no city like mine.
King Eric the Beady Assassin. We now tuned in to a special Sunday night episode of Off the Cuff Radio. Very special Sunday night. We just had a dope episode this morning, and now we back at it for the double shift. Got my host T-Max with the facts in the building.
What it do, y'all. Another Super Sunday. One wasn't enough, so we had to go two through and through. With his eye, T-Max, of course, with the pilot, King Eric. And, of course, this is Off the Cuff Radio. Shout-out to our co-host and spirit, Sandman, Lady Chinchilla. We are sponsored by Core Financial, Da Vinci Clothing, Dirty Basement Radio, Buddy Boy Entertainment. And we got Pat with us. Pittsburgh Pat, what it do, man?
Oh, what's going on?
What's going on with you?
How y'all doing? How y'all doing on this Sunday evening? I'm just kicking it, man. You know, doing my thing. You know, how y'all doing, man?
We all right.
We good, man. We good. We blessed, man. Happy to have another show in the books. So,
hell yeah, man.
Since you know you are plugged, you are plugged to the NO. Since you are plugged to the NO. Tell us about the guest we have on the line tonight, man.
Yeah, I said, I'm not sure if you guys know, but like I'm a fan of New Orleans music. I know it's a shock that I booked another rapper from New Orleans. But, man, this dude, if you guys remember a couple months back, we had Sam on the show, Sam-O. So Sam-O got an album coming, I think in the middle of May, he just announced it yesterday, that it's called Off Belmont, and he's been promoting it for a while, but he kept pushing it back, and then the final date, you know, that I promised, man, this album coming out, this date, well, I don't know, he just changed it, and it's a collab album, but anybody that knows me knows I've been pushing Off Belmont for a while. Off Belmont is coming out next month, but he switched the dates and dropped a whole collab album with our guest tonight, Fly 7, from the 7th Ward of New Orleans. And, man, it's a great album. Fly on the line right now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm here, man. What's happening with y'all, man?
Good. Fly, what's going on?
I appreciate y'all having me, man.
Thank you.
I'm cool, man. I appreciate you guys. No doubt.
I appreciate you coming on, man. For real. And, look, man, I love New Orleans. I know so many artists from there. Tonight, man, I want you to tell your story. I want to learn your history. I want to know what you're doing now, what you're doing in the future. But first things first, man, congratulations on this album, man. I would support it regardless because Sam-O's my guy. But
yeah,
man, this album is incredible, man.
I appreciate that.
Look, man, I usually send. You can ask Eric. I usually send him like 2-3 songs off an album of our guest. And
yeah,
I had to send him 4, and let him pick because I couldn't pick just between 2, and it was hard for me to even narrow it down to 4. Because I rock with this album so much, man. Like, I'm stuck on it. And how did it come about anyway? Because like I said, I know Samuel was promoting Off Belmont for months. And
because
when he came on, he came on our show, he wasn't even really promoting nothing. We was just chopping it up. And he told me about the album then, and then he was like, I swear April 6th is coming. Then he switched it out with this collab album. And are these songs that y'all had together, like already in the chamber?
The crazy thing is, man, this album is something that's been in the works for over 2-3 years now. Like me and Sam, we do music together all the time. So we, like a couple of weeks ago, we took a road trip. We drove down to New Orleans. You know, me and him, we live in Atlanta now. So we drove down to New Orleans, and we were just playing some music. He was playing some music he had in his phone, you know, some shit me and him did over the past 2 years. And I was like, man, we got some shit, man. We need to put this together and put it out. And that just, and from there, man, we came back home. We came back home about 3 days later. Shit, we dropped it. Like I said, we've been working on it for over the past 3 years. We was been supposed to put it out, but we just been sitting on it. And just like that, man, off of that road trip, just riding, listening to the music, we like, fuck it. Let's go ahead and put it out, and we dropped it. And we've been getting a good response from everybody, so
yeah,
I appreciate all the love you've been showing.
You're on his other album, the Magnolia Tells Two Sides, and
yeah,
that joint, that On Them joint, that joint is hard. And that whole album,
oh, yeah.
I love that entire album he got. So, like, when y'all was doing this album together, I was excited for it just based off that song. And then, of course, I heard Lit.
Mm-hmm.
You're on one of the remixes, too. Are you on She Can Get It?
Yeah, that's we got a remix coming out. I wasn't on the one he just put out, but we redropping it with me, him, and Max. Me, him, and Max.
Okay.
I think that's about to drop in the next few weeks. That shit's crazy, too, man.
Yeah, okay. But this album, though, man, like I said, when I first heard it, I had it on shuffle, so I didn't listen to it in order. But then I listened to it in order, and when I listened to it in order, it was even doper because, like, the song before makes the song better. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think it's a well-put-together album, and I saw y'all partying. I saw similar stories down in Miami. But so, I mean, I'm glad.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad you guys are celebrating this album, man. I really am, because I made a post earlier. I don't mean to keep talking and fucking up the show like this, but I want everybody listening to understand this. Now, everybody said they put on for the city and blah, blah, blah. New Orleans is so much deeper than Cash Money and No Limit. Cash Money and No Limit exists because New Orleans was so dope that people started labels and just went and rounded up a bunch of the dope-ass artists in the city. So that's why you know a lot of these guys because of those two dates. It's so much deeper than that.
Hell yeah.
And today, to where today, like, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you heard an artist, you kind of knew where he was from. Like, you could just tell. Today, man, it's just...
Yeah.
People are from everywhere putting out, you know, there's rappers from Kansas and shit, like everywhere, you know what I mean? Nobody puts on for New Orleans like you guys do. You guys, I've learned so many, I mean, look, there's a billion rappers out there. Who knows, I might have never listened to Ren Getz, Rob 3-9, even Toki, Mickey Hefner, and Nino Kelvin. I might have never got around to it because there's a billion rappers out there. Like, who got time to listen to everybody? You know what I'm saying? But
you guys put
on for your entire city. And I just want to, like, give you guys the respect you deserve for that. Because
man,
in this era,
I appreciate that.
Oh, they never shared my album. I ain't doing that shit. I ain't sharing this. No, you guys don't do that shit. You guys, clothing line.
Nah, we don't do that.
All
that's
that.
Me
you
and
guys
Sam, we talk,
put on
me,
for
me
everything.
And Sam, yeah, me and Sam, we talk about that a lot. You know, we all for pushing the city. Like, even if we don't really know a person personally, if we see you doing something, even if you're not sharing our shit, you're not promoting our stuff, we going to push you just because you're from the city. People don't understand that, like Rob 4-9 right now, he about to bust the city back open, man. People don't understand, like, it's about to get real crazy in New Orleans. Like, it's about to be like it was 20 years ago. I could feel it. And we've been waiting on our time, and I feel like the time is now.
And people from outside of Louisiana are seeing that, too. So it's not like just New Orleans is getting excited for what he's doing. Like, other people are saying, like, oh, he's from New Orleans. And the spotlight's about to be back on New Orleans again. So it's people from outside of New Orleans saying that, too. And y'all are ready. Y'all are ready. I mean, you got you and Sam always. Max Holmes. Mm-hmm. You got the veterans.
Yeah.
Then you got Willa Boy, Toki Hefner, Ren Getz, Rob 4-9. There's, you know, Kelvin, there's a lot of talent down there, man. And I'm here here for it 100%, man, because there's a lot of dudes down there that deserve it, you know what I mean? And I don't care who gets it first to put on for New Orleans. It looks like it's going to be Rob. And look, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Salute to him, you know?
Like,
that's the thing I love about New Orleans, man.
Yeah, he's just about to open the doors for everybody else to walk through, man. And we've been patient for a long time. And I feel like New Orleans is the down south mecca of hip hop. Like, and we've been waiting, you know, we've been waiting our time over 20 years now. It came back around, and now it's about to be real crazy, man.
Yeah, that's the thing about New Orleans is I agree with you, for one, because I could name my top 10, you can name your top 10, T-Max and Eric. I can name you 10 dope artists that you couldn't argue with being top 10 worthy without naming Lil Wayne. And not to say Wayne ain't worthy of a top 10, he definitely is. I'm just saying, like, that's how dope it is. Like, I could name you mad people and not name Wayne, and I wouldn't be wrong. But like I said, like, I want, you know, I'm not disrespecting Wayne in any way, but there's so much talent on that. And really, I think the only reason we never got, like, you know, back in 05, like, Houston had their run where everybody got on Slim Thug, Mike Jones, you know what I mean? I think the reason New Orleans never got that run was just too much bad shit happened. You know what I mean?
Every time somebody get right there, you know, if something happens, somebody die or they go to jail.
Like, with Slim dying, that hurt bad, man. Because, like, Slim had Cutthroat Committee, and everybody on Cutthroat was so dope. 12, Lil Real One, Chaotic, everybody was so dope. Everybody got locked up or died in Cutthroat Committee, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you had C-Murder getting locked up. You had Mac getting locked up. It was, and those guys weren't just your everyday rappers, another face in the crowd. No, those were C-Murder, Mac, and Slim were like the three leaders to take New Orleans into the next phase, the after Cash Money. You know what I mean? After No Limit.
Yeah, I was just listening to that that Soulja Slim that Years Later, a few months after. I was just listening to that the other day, and I'm just going down every track. And if you listen to the whole album, everybody that made an appearance on the album is either dead or in jail, except for Menace and Juvenile. Everybody else is pretty much dead or in jail, man. And that's pretty much what it's been, you know, for New Orleans. Every time, you know, they're about to take off, something happens.
I think we got Sam on the line, y'all.
No, I'm playing. Sam-O.
Sam-O, what it do?
What's going on, bro?
What's going on with you? How are you?
See, I'm chilling.
That's my dog right there.
Congratulations on the album, man. For real.
Appreciate it, bro.
Hell yeah, man.
What's crazy is,
okay,
I had
Sam,
that album.
We just seen you pop in. Who you
I
just ended up busting up on the cord?
In my phone and didn't even know it.
Just told him we was riding to New Orleans and we just started bumping and we like, fuck that, we got to put this out. This shit was crazy.
Yeah, that's why I saw your post, I think it was yesterday, off Belmont is coming out. When is it? What's the date?
What'd you say? I hate.
What's the new date for Off Belmont now?
May 25th.
May 25th. All right, man. You know, I'm going to be on this.
Everything lines up. So, yeah, I ain't changing it. This is it. Because I still got the Project Baby album to put out this year.
Oh, damn. It's going to be a big year for you, huh? Man.
Yeah.
I'm here for it, man. I think it's going to be a great summer for the whole city, man. I really do. With Rob 4-9 blowing up. Ron Gester's dropping new ones. You guys dropped it. Man, I can't wait for this summer, man. I think this is going to be the summer of New Orleans.
And Peaches just dropped a video today.
Bro, thank you so much for sending that shit to me, man. That shit is hard, man. That
is putting in the work, right? She overdue too.
Shout out, Peaches.
Yeah. What's that joint called? Second Guess? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to get the right name for it because I don't want to.
Yeah, it's called Second Guess.
You know. Yeah, I don't want to not give her a proper shout out here, man, because that song is hard, man. Thanks a lot for sending that to me, though, man, because I didn't see it. Yeah,
and Max will be dropping soon, too. I think his album will be, too.
We all know that's a highly anticipated project, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't wait to see what Mac got for us, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't wait either. I'm a fan.
It's going to be crazy. Like, it's just so nice even hearing Mac because, like, we was just talking about, like, the early 2000s stuff, like, with Slim passing away, C getting locked up, and Mac getting locked up, those weren't just, like, three rappers from the city. No, man, those were, like, the three dudes that were carrying. Yeah, you know, that was, like, the three, like, when those are, that's cutting the head off, you know what I mean? Like, they were the tickets for a lot of people. And, like, I remember when BG got his 14, it, like, in my head, I was just, like, so happy that it wasn't 20-something years. And, like, Now I look back on it, I'm like, damn, man, he still ain't home. But like, back when he got to 14, I was so used to hearing 40 years and
all that time.
Yeah, like I was so used to hearing life in 40 years and all that. So when they said 14, I was like, oh, man, he'll be home
soon.
We get
to see him again. Yeah.
You
know? Uh-huh.
That was crazy. Like, I mean, I always believed Mac would come home, but I just, you know, it was when he finally came home, when I kept reading, like, oh, yeah, he's coming home. He might get out in a week. I'm like, man, I'm not going to be Mac
at
home.
It was just so many little things that was keeping him from coming home. I have emails from him when he was supposed to come home, like, in 2018, 2017. And it was the small things that was keeping him from coming home.
Yeah. Well, New Orleans is fucked up when it comes to the system, man. Like, some crazy shit. Like, I saw some shit on Angora where, like, man, like, that shit is like slavery for real. Like,
damn near.
Like, they're fucked up. And just, like, the system and shit, like, just for anybody to beat a case down there when you're innocent. Like, we see all that shit, like, people recanting statements and all that. Like, man, like, how are, like, the DAs and shit in jail and shit? Like, they do, like, mad illegal shit. And it's just, like, motherfuckers want to talk about, I got haters, man? Well, you don't know what hate is, bro. When a fucking DA is paying off witnesses to lie on you to lock you up because you're a rich black dude, like, you know what I mean? Like, why do they hate C. Murder like that? Like, what does C. Murder
do? Yeah, but C. Murder, I'm going to tell you one thing about him, though. He a fighter, man. He coming up out of there. He not going to die in no prison. I'm going to tell you that now.
Nah.
And he going to come out there on his own merit with his morals intact. He'll never tell nothing to get out.
I don't tell a lot of people this just because, like, to me, like, there's no point in, like, counting because, like, it just looks like some of the shit. I've been writing C. Murder for a long, long time. Matter of fact, I could probably give you the date. Since right before The Truest Shit I Ever Said came out. That's the first time I ever wrote C. Murder. When the video of Y'all Heard of Me with BG, when that shit came out.
Yeah.
When he came home, and, like, right after Pimp C came home, he came home. He was on a pill or house arrest for his appeal.
Yeah.
And that's when he dropped that. He was screaming for vengeance. He had a book called Death Around the Corner. I was locked up. That's when I was fighting my kid. I was locked up for a robbery. He sent me that book. And
Bro, he a real one.
I've been writing See Murder for that long, and even when he came home, he still wrote me. He still wrote me a letter while I was locked up.
Oh, yeah, he's getting over the mail.
Yeah, bro. And I had probably 25 letters here from him and probably like a dozen from BG. I just don't be posting on shit just because there's no, that's between me and them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't want likes on that shit. That's not why I'm doing it. So, like, you know, when they come home and they come on the show, like, motherfuckers will see and I ain't lying about that shit. Like, you know, I talked to BG's aunt and his mom and Akeem. Like, I keep in touch with all those people. Every time something happens with the hurricane down there, I reach out to all of them, make sure they're good. Like I said, man, like, well, in hip hop, man, that shit raised me for real, bro. Like, there's things that I was faced with in life that I handled because of shit I learned through that music. That's real shit. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's what I tell people, man. Like, I don't interview rappers anymore. I interview soldiers because there's a difference there, man. Like, it's not about lyrical ability or being technical and all that shit. It's about what you're saying. I don't care if you're working in an office. You can grab a gem from the music to get through a hard day.
No matter what the content is,
if you know what you're listening to and you know what they're actually saying, there's a lot to being a soldier, man. It ain't about just street shit or anything like that, man. You can, you know, appropriate that to every walk of life.
Yeah, you need to reach out out to Peaches for an interview, too, if you haven't already.
Hit her up, man. Yeah, I'm going to hit her up for sure. I got to have her on the show, man, because me and X was just, she's catching some noise right now because she feels like her, Gangsta Boo, with Chad, they don't get mentioned enough when it comes to female. She's right. And there's a few others as well.
Absolutely right.
Peaches and Wild. Like, Peaches can grab her ass off, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that post earlier today.
Yeah, we got one with Me, Sam, Peaches, and a few other people on
our album. I got Peaches on my album.
Yeah.
Man.
Definitely.
That's what's up. Yeah, people can wrap her ass up, man. In New Orleans, man, they got all kind of dope females. You know, of course, like, West Coast, Magnolia, Shorty. And, you know, Mia. God, I love Mia. She probably gets the most love out of all, but, I mean, like, Cheeky, I love Cheeky Black. You know. But, I love everybody. You know, I'm going to watch it. When did Sam and your thought, this is for you guys, like, when did you guys first hook up to make music? How long have y'all known each other, and when did y'all, like, realize that y'all had a special chemistry to work together?
It was during, like, right after I left No Limit, and I was dealing with E2 Entertainment, which was Mac's manager's now his label. And they were telling me about a group called the Rich Boy, and they wanted me to hear them. So when they brought him to the studio, and he just kind of stood out to me, like, I don't need to hear you but once. I don't need to hear a bunch of rhymes to see something. Yeah. And he just kind of stood out to me, and I was working with him more. He's been on a song with me and Mac when Mac was in jail. He did Coming Home with me and Mac. He stood out to me, and we just started working together. I started working with him more than the other artists that they brought.
Yeah, we've been putting in work for over 15 years now. It's been a minute.
Damn, that's crazy. Yeah, I'm glad y'all did an album together. The chemistry y'all had together, it's not just
the killers
that shit was way overdue, to be honest with you, man. Like, we was been supposed to do that. We were supposed to do this about 5 years.
It was easy.
Yeah, I know you can hear that in the music that
there's just like a chemistry y'all have together. It's not just two dudes rapping over some beats. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's actually the way y'all bounce off each other, y'all both complement each other. Because I've been saying this for a long time, and this ain't just because you're on the line, dude. Like, well, you're probably the most underrated MC that I've known from the South.
I say that a lot. And you're not supposed to say that, right?
I always say that people always say, like, oh man, I wish we would have got that Tank Dogs album, the joint with Fiend and Snoop and shit. I'm like, man, the biggest thing that we didn't get was that Enemy of the State. And I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that all that song got ruined in Katrina.
Yeah, I don't know. Most of those, at least five of those songs ended up on No Limit album.
What, like
one was
Moving Things?
That was Peace Song. That was like one of the first songs I did.
Okay.
I had maybe three or four songs that ended up on albums. And that was after I left. Because I think a couple of them ended up on Silk, My World, My Way. And I was gone by then.
Yeah, because,
I mean, that's the album that I was like, damn, man, like, I wish we would have got that. Because I think that you at least deserve that. I think you at least deserve your shot where everybody hears you and can see what the fuck.
Fact.
Everybody that hears you agrees with me. Because I hate how when somebody drops a new album, everyone's like, oh, it's a classic. Like, man, nah, bro. Like, classic doesn't just mean it's a good album. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta let shit breathe. You gotta let it live. I gotta hear these songs in 3 years and think about the time period and all that. But there's several tracks on that Magnolia album. The, you know, the James Papp joint, the joint with Servon, the Weed Smoking is a timeless. That's a timeless record.
Man,
you and Levy.
Levy rapped for 2 minutes straight.
He kills it.
He went in on that motherfucker.
He went in on that motherfucker.
Yo, and that song, if I told you that shit was a 2019 song, or I told you that was in 1999 or 2006,
you wouldn't know.
That's a timeless record that there's only a few people that can pull those types of
things. That's what I aim for a lot. Like,
and
timeless,
no,
like, something that. That could be relevant 10, 20 years from now.
It's an anthem. Like, people, weed smokers would love it. Gangsters would love it. Yeah, no matter what, you know, you can play that shit in a club. You can play that shit riding around smoking. Play that shit trapping. Whatever, it's one of those records.
You know, you want to know what really influenced, like, what influenced my whole album structure was Victor Relapse.
Oh wow!
Good record. I would ride around and listen to Victor Relapse over and over and over and over. I listened to that album so much because I was anticipating it since like 2009 when he mentioned it.
Yeah.
When it dropped. And that kind of, if I'm like, man, I want my album to be able to put it in and just ride to it. Road trip. This is the album you reach for when you're taking a road trip.
Yeah.
It has a heavy influence on it.
What was it about Nipsey's structure that influenced you on it?
It was just like his album, like you would sit there, you would just you visioning everything he's talking about. Like it's like it's a very key part on the album where he said, Blue Laces 2. I feel like I'm sitting in that car with him when they going through that.
Yeah.
Every time I listen to it, I'm visioning myself sitting in there with him.
And, yo, one thing I can say about Victory Lap is what I told Fly about the album you guys just dropped, and I can say it about your album Magnolia, is when you listen to it in order, it's even better because the song before complements the song that you're on that leads into the next song. It makes the whole album one long song. It makes it a fucking movie. Like, it's a story you're watching. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, I can bounce to the album, listen to Tattooed, and you go to Nine and all that. Yeah, it's cool. But when you listen to it in order, it's a different story.
Yeah, yeah.
And Victory Lap is very similar to that.
Like, yeah, it took me
Joints Are All Good,
a good week to get the track listed in the order that I felt comfortable with.
Yeah. Yeah, because when you listen to shit in order, man, it does, it changes it. Because it, you go through the vibes of the album, you know what I mean? Like, you vibe differently to the song because of the vibe you coming off from the song before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The structure of the album can really make or break the album. You know what I'm saying? I bet you don't think R is good because of how it might be the order you listen to shit. You know what I mean? There might be shit that you might not think is as dope as it really is because you didn't hear the song before. So you're in a different mind state when you hear the song.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're coming off some new shit into another track, it makes it a different song. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Oh, yeah. You definitely, when you said Victory Lap, man, I can definitely see that. Now that I go and listen to Magnolia.
That was a heavy influence on me.
Man, that's cool.
I swear I listen to that every day.
Yeah, that album is crazy. And I'll admit, when that first dropped, I was like, kind of like, not that I didn't want to fuck with it, but I was just like, man, I ain't over hyping this shit. Man, it's
just
another album.
So long, man. Yeah, he was. I was anticipating it from I heard him missing. The first time I heard him rap was in 2009. First time I heard him dip.
Yeah, but see, like I spent like seeing about it and shit. And then like I said, man, nowadays like everybody just says shit's fire, shit's classic. So it kind of waters down the meanings of those words. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah, it does.
My co-host here,
my
co-host King Eric was like, man, this Victory Lap shit is so cold, it might bring the whole West back. And I was like, man, he over-exaggerating this shit. And I sat and listened. I was only 3 days late on the fucking album, but I was regretting being greeted as late. Because I was like, man, I went and deleted my comment. I was like, man, I can't let people see that I made that comment. Like, I'm dead fucking wrong. Like, I was dead fucking wrong. Like, that shit.
I told Fly, man, this album is the shit. And he wouldn't listen to it.
Yeah.
We were on the way back from New Orleans. And we got a call. We got a call from some people that was in L.A. saying, Nipsey just got shot. So I'm driving. He's searching through his phone. And he's finding the video. I said, damn, he dead. I'm looking at the video like, damn, that's a lifeless body right there.
Yeah.
And we was jamming. We was listening to Nipsey. This is a Victory Lap. When we got the call.
And I hate to say it, bro, like that was the first time I listened to Victory Lap. And I've been playing that shit every day since. It's fucked up, man. That was the first day I started listening to it. And now that's like one of my favorite albums ever.
Especially
when he was dropping so many gems. He was dropping so many gems in those records too. Like
that's what it was.
Yeah, he was talking about owning your own masters, staying independent.
When
he died, man, like I don't remember exactly who it was, but I had just like stumbled onto Facebook, accidentally clicked on, you know how like it'll say so and so is live in your notification. Well, I accidentally, like, hit that notification, so it took me to someone's live, and it was somebody that, like, I talked hip-hop with. And I was like, bro, Nipsey's dead. And he's like, bro, stop saying that fucking shit, man. Like, he just got shot, bro. He's cool, because he had saw the initial report, but then he went live and wasn't following it, you know what I mean? And I was like, nah, bro, sign off. Like, go and check that shit. Like, I wouldn't just say that shit without knowing it.
Yeah, man, I saw the video, man. I know what a lifeless body looks like, man. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
And it took another real one.
Yeah, and, he's one of those once-in-a-lifetime type of dudes where Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, of course he was from the West Coast. He repped the West and all that. But he was universal as well, though. You know what I mean? Like, you can be from anywhere and fuck with Nipsey. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
he's West Coast as they come, but, you know, you take his music anywhere and it'll, you know, realness translates everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And, like, if you're real and you have the ability to speak to people, like, that shit travels and you're from everywhere. Like, listening to Nipsey makes you feel like you're from Crenshaw. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've never been to New Orleans, but, like, as much as I love Soulja Slim, I'm from the Magnolia. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I listen to him so much that I feel like I'm there. You know what I'm saying? And, like, Nipsey was one of those dudes, like, where you feel like you've been to Crenshaw and you've never been there. You know what I'm saying? Like, very rare to get nowadays. And Nipsey was, especially in this generation where a lot of labels aren't even trying to find legends. They're trying to find the hot song of those. I mean, there's a billion rappers. Labels don't want to invest in something
every day.
Yeah, labels want a couple hot records from you because, in their mind, there's 20 other dudes just like you. Get the fuck out of here. Like,
yep, and they can do that every month. Yeah,
every day.
There's a lot of people that will never get the major label push and the growth period that they need. It's kind of like the NFL, man, how Roethlisberger, Rivers, and Eli Manning were so successful so early that now quarterbacks don't get 4 or 5 years to get good, to develop. You have to be good right now. That's how hip-hop is too, man. There ain't no time to grow. They want that finished product now. Get us a couple hit records. Sign this bullshit deal. We can rob you. And that's it. And they're on to the next one. So to have someone like Nipsey, if you look at his career, man, he was able, I mean, you know, it took a while for his album to come out, but I think that he was smart, not rushing anything. He built his fan base. And, you know, he didn't get some half-baked bullshit. And I love the fact that he didn't go that corny route of, I need the club record, I need the love record. You know what I mean? I hate when people do that. There ain't no fucking, what's the love record and club record on Illmatic? And, Enter the 36 Chambers. Like, but it's classic albums. They don't have them, you know, them organized albums, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I hate that shit when, like, you listen to someone's album and you just hear that one bullshit song that you know they made just to sell records and shit. Like, I want some shit that bangs no matter what. I want some natural shit. You know what I mean? Like, Nipsey did that shit. Nipsey had something from the start to the finish. Then he didn't have
he
that song in the middle
that,
with the semen broad and all that. Like, he had an actual movie for an album. I love that.
It was. He was the biggest one on Taylor Two Sides.
Real quick, man.
I don't mean to interrupt, but real quick, man, I do want to say rest in peace to Dwayne Haskins, the quarterback for our Steelers, man. Like, that's just awesome, man. I can't believe I messaged you when I saw that shit, man. That shit was horrible.
I still haven't read the story or listened to any of the reports.
Bits and pieces. Apparently, he like ran out of gas in a rental and tried to cross like the interstate several lanes and got hit by a dump truck. From what I understand.
Damn.
Dump truck. Man, that shit crazy.
Yeah. It's just like one of those stories you read and you're like, how the fuck did something like that even happen, man? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
he
was
not
in Florida, like, practicing with his players and shit, and, like, shout out to Lamar Jackson and everybody else that rode out for him yesterday, man, because I don't know if y'all saw Adam Schefter's tweet. It was pretty.
I seen that bullshit.
I just heard about it. My son just told me about that.
Pretty lame of him to do that, man. Like, you know, like that's the initial headline that he came up
with. Like, yeah, like, what was he thinking?
Quarterback that struggled with the Redskins. They're like, bro, like,
who gives a shit?
Yeah, like, that's how he did on the football field now, man. Like, the dude is, you know, it's beyond football now, man. Like, yeah, that's how we know him.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't give a fuck about his numbers, man. The dude was 24 years old. He just got married.
Now he could have talked about how he threw 50 touchdowns at Ohio State in the season.
Yeah, man.
Like,
yeah. We could have said
anything.
That's
a million
times
he
could have spoken. This dude, you know, like, he was a husband. Like, you know, he's just a man in general, bro. He was 24, 25 years old, man. Like,
man.
I don't care about his play on the football field, man. Like,
yeah,
that's the last thing I'm
and the fucked
about.
Up part, he didn't even come back and apologize. Nothing. He just changed the tweet up a little bit and put it back
he
out.
He deactivated his account. That's what he did. He deactivated his account and then just changed the headline, came back 2 hours later, acted like that shit never happened.
Yeah.
Like, that's corny. He did that.
Ryan put out a statement, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a bunch of people were going in on his ass.
He might be done. It's the councilman season.
It's the councilman season for real.
Yeah, get him out there.
Yeah, that was real.
That
was very classless. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was just...
He just lost all the respect to all them players. That's what he just did.
Yeah.
Remember how everybody used to call him? He had everybody's number. It's over for him.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, they've been on his ass the past 2 days. They've been on his ass.
Yeah, as they should be, man.
When they're going to put him on that apology.
Yeah, bro, that's classic, especially if he didn't even apologize. Now, at this point, if he apologizes, you know he's just apologizing.
It don't even matter. Fuck,
man. Now he's feeling the consequences of what he said. So now any apologies, it's fucking empty. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he would have just came out and said, you know what? I was just trying to, like, describe him, you know, for people who didn't know who he was. I was just trying, you know, I just got lost in the, you know what I mean? Like, it was so shocking. I didn't really realize what I was saying, blah, blah, blah. And, if he did that right away, it's like, all right, man, whatever. Like, they will be sour on you for a few days, and then we'll move on. But the fact that you deleted your account, changed the headline, came back and act like that shit just never happened.
Yeah.
Oh, the Dolphins signed a safety. Like, man, fuck out of here. Like, you know what you said, motherfucker. We didn't forget. You know what I mean? We just came back with some bullshit all through. Like, oh, the Bills signed a tackle. It's like, yeah, Shaq, I really did. What did you say about Green, bro? But, I didn't mean to mess up the flow of the show, man. I just wanted to make sure.
No,
I got that out.
You good, man.
You know what I mean?
Let y'all go and finish y'all interview with Fly.
Yeah. And thanks for calling in, bro. I really appreciate it, man. Cause,
no problem.
Like I said,
congratulations
on this album. I hope you guys get the love y'all deserve for this album, because you guys definitely deserve it. Thanks again for calling in, man. Fly, don't you go nowhere, man. I ain't done with you, bro.
Nah, I'm here.
Hey, man. So, Fly, I want to talk to you real quick. We're going to have a little bit of fun with this one. I do still want to talk about your career as well, but I got pressed for a good question earlier this week. My Mount Rushmore of New Orleans. So I'm going to ask you the same question. Now, you can take this question however you want. You can give me just who you think the four best rappers are from New Orleans. You can do the four most influential, the four biggest kind of impactful pioneers, however you want to take. Who's your New Orleans Mount Rushmore?
Okay, I mean, first of all, I got to go with, you know, I got to put Wayne. Got to put Wayne up there.
Okay.
I mean, my personal favorite rapper coming, you know, when I was younger was Mystical. Love Mystical.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I love Mystical. I got Mystical up there. Who else? Wayne, Mystical. I gotta put Juvenile up there.
Okay.
And my number one favorite rapper all the time, Soulja Slim. I gotta put him up there.
Okay.
Mine's
similar. Point. But see, like, if I'm just going, like, favorites, I don't know. Because, like, I want to put Wayne on there because, like, I've been fucking with Wayne since the Hot Boys. And even like, the later shit with Wayne, the shit that, like, Wayne has some shit that I don't like. But Wayne has so much shit that, like, that's kind of a good thing. You know what I'm saying? It just shows you that he's capable of making any kind of shit. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm more of a fan of the old Wayne. You know what I'm saying? The first Wayne that
I love, the Hot Boys Wayne and then the Squad Wayne. Like
that's my favorite. Squad Wayne is my favorite Wayne.
I love that shit. Like the shit, him and Kid with that Renegades. I love that. Renegade, even the shit with Currency, like, this is how we do and shit, like, all them squad tapes are hard. Like, of course, like, the Drought, the Dedications and all that shit, like.
That's the era that really motivated me to start rapping, that Squad Up era. That's the shit that made me pick up the pen. You gotta see, man, when I was coming up, man, I used to, like, after Juvie and everybody left Cash Money, when Wayne started doing the Squad Up shit, I watched this shit for him, man. I watched this shit up close. So I used to see Wayne every week, him and the whole squad, you know, walking on the lakefront. That shit just motivated. That shit was motivating to the whole city, man. Like, we watched that shit morph into what he is now. So that's what motivated me coming up, is just watching that shit every week, man. Seeing it up and close.
I bet, man, New Orleans was hot at that time, bro, because you had that shit, the squad, and plus you had, like, Juvie with Wacko and Skip, and then you had BG. Yeah, BG was coming with the Chopper City Boys. You know, I mean, that was a dope time, like, to see all the Hot Boys going their own route. And still being dope, you know what I'm saying? And like, real quick for Juvenile, I said this before. Juvenile don't get enough credit for the shit that Juvenile drops. Like, hear me out when I say this. Juvie made the new Baby Got Back. You know what I'm saying by that?
Like, that ass up. Hell yeah.
Yeah, made that, and then he came back again and kind of did it again with Slow Motion, even though that's a Slim joint. But then
classics.
He kind of even did it again with Know Your Clap. Like, Juvie got so many joints that if you play at a fucking party, people that don't listen to rap music know them joints.
They know it,
fuck the numbers, all that, how they did it in the Billboard. All that shit means nothing. The people that I don't care how many records like Slow Motion sold, bro, there's 10 times that amount know that song just from the radio, from being at parties and clubs and shit. And Juvenile would be one of the hardest rappers to beat in a versus battle. If you think about it.
Oh, he got so much. He got so much shit.
What is a versus? A versus, the main part about a versus is how the crowd reacts to shit. I'm not saying that, like, nobody can be Juvenile. I'm not saying that. But, bro, you better got some strong shit to beat Ha, to beat Back That Ass Up, to beat Know Your Clap, Slow Motion, Rodeo.
And then
that's not even counting, like, Project Bitch. And, you know what I mean? Like, this dude's been a part of so many, like, dude, records, like, of course, he's
probably a lot of people don't know there's a lot of those big records is after Cash Money, after he left Cash Money, when he was doing his own thing.
Definitely.
400 Degrees Alone will wear a lot of cats out.
Oh, hell yeah. You can play that whole album.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
Like,
Bro, like, Juvie would be one of the hardest rappers to beat. Yeah, like, look, like, people always say, like, Wayne and Jay-Z and shit. Bro, like, Wayne might end up getting them because just, like, the size of Wayne's, like, later catalog. But, like,
yeah.
Bro, like, Wayne would struggle for a few rounds.
He don't have no song bigger than Back That Ass Up. Wayne don't have one song bigger than that, I don't think.
Nah. You know, like, he can make some noise with, like, Go DJ and shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, bro, Back That Ass Up, I don't care how many records are sold, man. Like, a billion people know that fucking record. You know what I'm saying? Like,
everybody.
Who doesn't know that
everybody.
Song? Like, mad people that don't listen to rap that know that song. You know what I'm saying? Like, Ruby would be so hard to fucking beat. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to think, like, who could come back-to-back like that with Know Your Clap, Slow Motion, Ha, Back That Ass Up, Rodeo. Bro, you play that shit. Those are hard songs to beat, you know what I'm saying? One dude I wanted to show love on the Mount Rushmore tip, one dude I wanted to show love to was L.O.G.
I
fuck with L.O.G. heavy, and he's one of those dudes that... in the time of Cash Money, No Limit, and like before that, like, you know, he was putting it down before that, like Cash Mafia and shit, but he was that dude in New Orleans that was able to create his own movement without being attached to Cash Money or No Limit, you know what I'm saying? And like, to be able to do that, I mean, I'm from Pittsburgh, man, I know 90% of LOG's catalog, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
For him to make that much noise, like, that's pretty impressive. And he has, you know, he got some, like, anthem, like G's and Soldiers. That's a classic record.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic right there.
He got a lot.
He's another one that's really slept on too, man.
He definitely is. I had him on the show. And that's one of the, like, I've interviewed hundreds of people, man. A lot of we had a lot of people on this show and my old show. One of the things that I'm most proud of is I was able to tell LOG, like, yo, bro, like, you made that impact. Like, you don't get enough respect. You don't get the love he deserves. I'm glad, like, I'm proud of that I was able to tell him, look, man, just know that there is people that know what you've done. Like, yo, you are appreciated, bro. Like, I made him feel like the legend he is. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. Hell
a
yeah.
lot of people get slept on. I was proud of that I got to tell him, like, man, I know what you mean. Like, I know what you mean in New Orleans. And, like, New Orleans is more than just a rap scene. Like, there's a culture of New Orleans rap music. And from the bounce era to now, you know what I mean? Cash Money, No Limit era, like, to be able to stay fluent through every era that New Orleans has been through. And New Orleans is one of those cultures that you kind of you have, like, nowadays, like, you have to be all of that. You have to be bounce and soldier music.
Yeah,
I gotta have
a mixture of everything.
So to be able to do that in the mid-90s to now, like, LOG is, like, I put him on my Mount Rushmore because of that. Of course,
who else you got up there?
Soulja Slim,
of course. Yeah.
And, I mean, this is why it's hard for me because, I'm putting Juvie there. And, And then that last spot is hard for me because, like, it's hard for me to, I want to put BG there, but it's hard not to put Wayne there. It's hard not to put C Murder there. It's hard not to put Matt. So many ways to go. So I just go by, like, I listen to BG probably a little more than all those names. And another dude is Six Shot. I want to give him.
I fuck with Six Shot.
He's somebody that I hold in high regard. You know what I mean? But I think I would probably go with BG. Just because of how much
I had to add one.
What's
what
that?
About Boosie?
Well, he said New Orleans,
but
Boosie's Baton Rouge, so that's the only reason why.
Boosie's Baton Rouge.
Yeah, he's Baton Rouge.
And if you're counting Louisiana, I mean, Boosie definitely deserves to be mentioned, yeah, but I mean, if we're talking all of Louisiana, you got to take C-Loke into consideration because without C-Loke, you don't know Young Bleed, you don't know Boosie, right. You don't know Webby, you don't know Handy. People that really know Louisiana know Lil Handy, he's a legend. Lil Fat, it's some. Right. I mean, you know, Louis Baton Rouge got their shit too. You know what I mean?
Kevin Gates,
yeah. Kevin Gates, yeah. He's supposed to both. He's from Mount Ward and Louisiana, or Baton Rouge. I mean,
right.
But I mean, it's hard like not to bring up people like. I mean, really fresh KLC is the producers. I mean, you don't know me. Deserve their respect. You know, I know Samo was on the phone. He'd be yelling at us right now for not saying people like Jacko. Anybody who knows New Orleans knows Jacko from Magnolia. He's like LOG, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, the
right.
People that know him, he just knows what he was about. You know, Calhoun's another one.
Yeah.
Spade. You know, but I guess
there's so many,
everything into account. Like, you know, it's hard to narrow it down to just four, but like Slim is a lock. You know what I mean? And I guess like,
oh yeah,
like, Juvie too. Juvie for Anthem
yeah.
alone. Like,
yeah,
Juvie just for what he did. Just like everybody loves those Juvie records, even if you don't like. Mm. The South, like, so you don't like Southern rap music, you like all those Juvie songs, so like
right.
You deserve respect just for that. And I don't like Wayne as far as success goes, and I don't know, after that you kind of just plug in whoever. Like, you can make the case
yeah.
for C-Murder, BG, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard. Like, all I can give the same reasons for all of those, and like part of that is what they've also done for other rappers in New Orleans, too. You know what I mean? Like, what you gave back. And
yeah.
There's a lot of people that have fans because they were attached to BG and the Top of City Boys or the Hot Boys and or C-Murder. Yeah, people like M11 and G. De Niro and all those guys, they're all, like, C-Murder's people. And, like, Bob and Devar, like, associate those with Calliope and C-Murder, you know what I mean? So, yeah,
right.
Kirkland, what everybody gave back, you know, and if it wasn't
right.
here, like, Mac and Slim and everybody, I wouldn't know who Sam was. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So, like,
no doubt.
So it's, like, hard to leave Mac out. It's hard to leave, you know, hard to leave a lot of people out. I mean, yeah, you know? And people like Stone, D-Boy Lack, like, there's so many people you can name, like, that are, like,
yeah,
more
so many of them,
dope that I knew eventually, like, I'm so excited about, like, how Vulture Island, Broad 49 is doing right now, and the fact that people outside of New Orleans are saying that he's bringing the city back, because I'm just glad
yeah.
that you're going to get, you know, you're going to get a lot of people that just know the guys to get very, very popular. But you're also going to get a percentage of people that are going to trace everything. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this dude, he's from New Orleans. He's dope. Let me try to find some other New Orleans guys. So there's going to be guys that gain
new
fans out of curiosity, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And that's a good thing. You know, that's a good thing. Like, the shit that they might stumble into, like, it's weird how you hear certain artists.
Yeah, there's a lot of dope artists in New Orleans right now, man. So, like I said at the beginning of the interview, man, it's about to get – we've been waiting, and it's about to get real crazy, man. I already know. I can see it now.
Yeah.
I got a lot of other artists, too, that I can send to you that's crazy.
Yeah, and that's the important thing about everybody working together because
right.
When it comes time for the whole world to be watching New Orleans, like, there's so many people that are going to benefit. There's so many people that deserve that light that haven't got it. You know, like, I want people to someday stop and salute what Currency was able to overcome, and then the movement that he built on his own.
It's crazy you say Currency, because, you know, Currency is the reason why. He's like, he gave me my first shot in rap. Like, you know, when Sam came on here, he said that I was in a group called the Rich Boys. Currency formed that group. Like, when I first started rapping, I was in a group that was me, Currency, my homeboy Castro, my other partner Nina, and my other partner Trill. And we formed a group called the Rich Boys. It's a Currency, you know, he was the one that started the group. You know, I got cool with him. We was pretty much going to the same college. I got cool with him, you know, just passing by at school, you know, just doing I wasn't even really taking music serious at the time. But I guess he kind of like seen something in me. He says we just formed a relationship. He asked us to be down with his this is when he was starting his own label. This is right after he left No Limit. He was starting his own label, but the group was called the Rich Boys.
This is after like 504 Boys, but before he was with like Lil Wayne.
Yeah, this is right in between that time. Yeah,
right in between that. Okay.
Trying to get the air.
He asked me to be down, and like I said, I was in the group at the time, but he kind of pulled me to the side, and he only really wanted to fuck with me. He didn't want to fuck with the whole group, but me, just, you know, just being loyal, I was fucking with my group before I knew him. I just couldn't leave my guys out. So he kind of started doing his own thing with Wayne. Like, I was at IHOP with Currency when Wayne first asked him to get down with Young Money. Like, I was right there. I was in the middle of all of that shit, man. And it was just crazy timing, man. But like I was, it was just crazy that you said Currency, because he was one of the main reason why I really started taking music serious. Like, just going to the studio with him, seeing the work he put in.
I'm glad that came out, man.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. Man, Currency, we have group albums and shit that we did together that just, it never came out. It never came out because after he left No Limit, you know, we was the Rich Boys, and Master P, I don't know him and Master P. I don't know what issues they had or whatnot, but Master P kind of took our name. He took the Rich Boy name. He incorporated it. I don't know what happened, but he, you know, he made Lil Romeo and a few other guys the Rich Boys. I don't know if y'all remember that, but we was the Rich Boys before they was the Rich Boys.
Wow.
Wow, Master P taking somebody's idea. I've never heard that one before. I'm so shocked.
That's how it went down, man.
I might be wrong, but Currency had, did you make it on any, did the Rich Boys make it on, were you guys on like the Sports Center tape with Currency? Was that group?
I'm trying to remember. It was right around that time. I need to know, because I don't even remember, to be honest with you.
Yeah, hold on.
It's a possibility, because we was around that time.
Sports Center Volume 1, hold on. Let me see. Because there's a group on that album that I never knew who they were. It's the, yeah, I think this is it. Hold on. Because this is the, he had that joint locked down with Mac and C Murder on that tape. Let's see. Is it called, were you guys on a song called It's On?
I don't think so. That shit was so long ago. I honestly can't even say.
I feel you. I feel you.
We got a lot of shit together. He could have put something on it.
Does this sound familiar?
It don't.
Is that y'all?
Oh, I'm trying to hear.
Nah,
I don't think we
want
that.
There's a group in that song.
I don't know who that group is, but that's definitely the song. But I don't know who that group is. And I remember at the time, like, my brother saying it was, like, Currency's Boys. But I never knew their name.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to find out who that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trust me, I'm going to find that shit out. I'll message you about it later.
But that's crazy, though, because I
always just thought it was, like, Currency was so dope, and he was down with everybody and just kind of just, you know, the timing. Like, I don't know what happened with each situation. You know, he was with No Limit, and then, like, after No Limit, he kind of, you didn't really know where he was at. Like, you heard him on C. Murder's album. You heard him with Slim. He was on Slim's album. So you're like, oh, where's he going to end up? Like, you just figured he would be with, you know, he was on No Limit. So he'll be with Slim or he'll be with C. Murder. You know what I mean? And then, I know he's with Wayne. Like, he goes with Lil Wayne for a while. And then after that, you're like, where'd he go? Pops up on the tape with Wiz Khalifa. Then he signs with Dame Dash. Like,
man,
it feels like he just got caught in so many different situations. And that's why he went by himself.
I got to salute that man because that's hard to do, man. Normally, you get one shot in this music shit.
You get one shot.
This nigga had about 4 or 5 shots, and his best shot was him doing his own thing. You know, that was his best fit at the end of the day, man. Like I said, that shit is hard to do.
And he works, bro. Like, he got so much music that, like, I don't know anybody that could possibly know all his shit. Like, he just consistently puts out just music. And, like, people that don't know, his label now, for anybody that likes old New Orleans shit, plenty of connections to it. Fiend is on his label.
Oh, yeah.
Fiend's there.
Mr. Marcello, which is...
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people think that's kind of just like brother or some shit. I don't think they're really related.
They're not blood brothers, but they pretty close.
Yeah, like if you say that's Currency's brother, like you're not wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
I've heard them explain the relationship before. You're not wrong if you say that. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But
yeah.
So Marcello's there, BG's son TY is there.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't know nothing, but I see my guy Mac doing a lot of times he did. I would love it if Mac went there with Jet Life and dropped his album.
That'd be dope.
I see Mac on live all the time wearing Jet Life apparel and shit. I'm sure he's just rocking their clothes too. You know what I'm saying? And he's with Currency a lot. I would love that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if that's
they gotta at least do some music together. Yeah, they gotta
That'd
be dope.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all heard that do you see the video of him playing the guitar? And he does
I never even knew he can do all of that shit, man. That nigga talented as fuck.
He might have learned that locked up. You know what I'm saying? Because you can buy a guitar. When he did that video, he was with Currency. Like, there's another video of him just talking, and it's, like, promoting that. Like, that he was going to show you guys, like, a little bit of shit he's been working on. And that's what he's talking about, that. And then 21 Summers came out. But that night that he did that, there was a video out before that of the same night, and he was with Currency that night and he did that. And,
okay.
Plenty of connections that was into it. It would be great to see him there. But wherever he goes, I'm all for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Currency, like, that's impressive what he was able to, you know, accomplish.
Overcome.
And,
yeah.
After being kicked how many times, you know what I mean? And he just never gave up.
Yeah.
I mean, bro, he got all them albums with the Alchemist. Like, he's like the collab king. Like, he got like a group called Jetlanta with, who is it? It's him, QI, BG's son, and what's the other dude's name? Corner Boy P, Bendy P.
Yeah, Corner Boy P,
yeah. We got that. Then he has like a bunch of albums with the Alchemist, and then he got the album with the Alchemist and Freddie Gibbs. He even got like an EP with Styles P from D-Block.
Oh, yeah. And you know he got this shit coming out with Jermaine Dupri soon too. I think that's gonna be dope.
That's crazy. Wow, I didn't know that. That was, he got all them joints for Wiz Khalifa too. He got a few mixtapes with him. And that's not even like scratching the surface of what Currency has done. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I could. Like, he dropped like 6 different albums last year and some shit. Like, not full length albums, but I mean, you know, he dropped like EPs like so many times last year. Every time I lost track of them. I missed some of them until I actually heard of the next one. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's one thing about Currency, man. He's gonna get in that studio and work. That's one thing I would say about him. He live in the studio.
Yeah, he definitely
does
work.
If he ain't out working on his cars, he in the studio. He definitely works.
Yeah. And look, one thing about, like, this buzz that New Orleans is getting right now, and, like, I truly believe that, you know, New Orleans is going to get a lot of attention in the next coming couple years. Currency is, like, the perfect artist for that. Because he's, you know, he got some young fans, young people like Currency, who makes some cool shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not afraid to work with other people outside of what he usually does. He does plenty of shit for, like, the hip-hop heads, the people that listen for, like, the lyricism and shit. Then he got shit that, like, people that like No Limit Cash Money type shit. And he got something for everybody. And he's old enough to be a veteran, but makes music that young people fuck with, too. Like, because he's not... People that know New Orleans, we don't look at Currency as like a throwback artist at all. You know what I mean? We look at him as like a newer dude, even though he's 20-something years deep in it. But like, it just feels like he's from a different time than like Soulja Slim and all that. You know what I mean? But like,
because of his style,
and he's not afraid to work with people, show people love, give people opportunities. Well, I guarantee you. When that spotlight comes and shining on New Orleans and a lot of new artists are coming up, I guarantee you Currency is so helpful in getting people on.
And the good thing about him, he's in the city. He lives in the city. So he definitely will be there to help anybody out.
Because he has relationships with so many good. Like, how many times have you heard something bad about Currency? I don't know, not one bad story of them. And how many times do people leave crews or groups that they were in and there's beef there? I never heard of a Little Wayne Currency beef.
Nah,
I never heard
that at all.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't hear Currency dissing like C Murder or, you know what I mean? Like, he left all these situations, but did it the right way. Didn't have to beef with people to get his name up there. He just, you know, things didn't work out, move on. You know, don't give up.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't seem like a hateful dude at all. You know what I'm saying? And he built, you know, Jet Life is you know, that's a great label, man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
the
together and shit. You know, I definitely you know, he's another one of them dudes, like, he needs more respect for what he's been able to accomplish. You know what I mean? The fan base that he was able to build. Like I said, I've never heard anybody really say anything bad about Currency. He's a likable dude, a real dude, and he comes from, you can trace him back to the roots of New Orleans, you know what I mean? Like, all the pioneers and stuff. Like, Currency's a real dude, man. We didn't even know, but we stumbled upon you. That's how you got in, this Currency. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Good thing about New Orleans, though, man. Y'all put each other on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because very ego. In a lot of places, it's very, in certain places, it's very egotistical, man. Like, it's like a blood sport, especially in places like the East Coast, in a way. I can vouch. In New Orleans, it's like you don't really hardly hear any beefs unless you know it's really personal. But for the most part, you hear a lot of collabs.
Yeah. There is definitely some beef history in New Orleans. I mean, like BG versus Mystical early on. And then, like,
yeah.
I mean, that's one thing that doesn't get talked about a lot. Like, of course, we know how DL Mike and BG fell out. But, like, 12 O'Clock was dissing BG, too. Slim's cousin 12. He started dissing BG. Like, so there was, and then, of course, BG versus Baby Wayne. You know, like, Squad Up versus Chopper City. They were dissing each other. And
it'd be a lot of beefs out there, man. But the thing about New Orleans is, man, New Orleans is small. So if you got beef with somebody, you're gonna run into them. And it ain't if somebody rap beefing in New Orleans, it's gonna get real. It ain't gonna just be rap. So before it continue to just be rap, like a lot of people get in the middle of that shit and squash it before it even escalates to that point. Like with the Choppers, like you said, the Chopper City. And the Squad Up beef, like, that shit is going to get real if motherfuckers ain't jump in the middle of that shit and squash it before it got to that point.
It's like, yo, when Cash of the South beef with the General, I'm like, yo, y'all better have Jesse and Al on speed dial, man, because it's going to get real fast.
Yeah, hell yeah, yeah. You got to have somebody squash that shit.
Why do you say about that? You know, but on the flip side of that, if, like, somebody is listening to this interview right now, let's just say they didn't know no rappers from New Orleans at all, and they just heard us talking. No matter what name they pick out, if I say they're just going to pick one name we mentioned and go and listen to them, if they pay attention to the other artists they've worked with and all that, everybody's connected in some way. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, everybody that I mean has their own crew or they're part of a crew that's connected to this dude, that's connected to that dude. So, like, Soulja Slim, like, you can trace everybody back to him or back to the Hot Boys, back to, well, you know what I mean? Like, every C-Murder, Currency, like, there's so many different branches, you know what I mean, that... If you just take one rapper from New Orleans, you're going to be able to find the whole tree in no time.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because everybody knew everybody, man. Like I said, man, New Orleans is small. You can drive around the whole city in 20 minutes. Like, uptown and downtown is like 7 minutes from each other. Like, it's hard for you not to be connected in some type of way with people from the other side, because everybody in my crew knows somebody in Currency crew. Everybody in Currency crew knows somebody in BG crew. It's just like all connected, man. It's just a small ass city.
Yeah, that, you ain't lying, man. You'll find just like, you find so many artists that like, oh man, as soon as you know them, like, oh, now you're into the thick of things. Like, if you pay attention to, like, BG's Chopper City years, the people, other people outside of the Chopper City boys you work with, you find, like, local, like, legends, like Uncle Laurel, P-Town Moe. Like, you start finding all these dudes, and you're like, oh, shit, then you, like, start to really learn where all these dudes come from, what everybody means to their little area, and then you just realize, like, oh, shit, we're talking about not that much of an area. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're literally talking, you know, like you said, uptown and downtown is just a couple minutes apart. And then if you just listen to just Soulja Slim's music and the places he names, oh, Soulja Slim is Magnolia Slim. Just his everyday raps, you'll learn about front of town, back of town, third verse, fourth board. You know the jump from 13th to 17th, across the river. So, like, I know all those times. I've never been down there, but that's how the area is. Like that Josephine, you know what I mean? Like, and you listen to UNLV, you know the Mountain Hotel, you know what those places are. That's third ward right there. But all those places are right by each other. And you're just, I'm from Pittsburgh. It ain't no big ass city either. You know what I'm saying? And you realize, like, oh shit, look at all these movements that were in New Orleans, and that's just in a few mile radius. Like, that's so wild. That's so wild, bro. That you have all that shit. Like, you can, if I say I just listen to downtown rappers from New Orleans, you know how many rappers that is? You know what I'm saying? A lot of fucking people. And then when you just listen to uptown, it's crazy. Like, how, like, and it's not that big of an area we're talking about. And there's that much talent there. Like, that's so crazy, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's pretty wild when you think about it, how small of an area we're talking about. And how... Like, how many great rappers are from there, man? Like, that's crazy. Like, I don't know what the fuck they're putting in that water down there, man, but shoot.
That's going back to saying, and that's why I go back to saying that it's ain't no such thing as rap beefing in New Orleans, man, because you're going to see them, motherfucker. You're going to see them, like, on any given day. You got to run into this motherfucker.
And like you was talking about the Chopper City squad up shit. Those of us that like actually follow that shit, like we remember when that shit got squashed. Lil Wayne performed "I Miss My Dogs" in New Orleans with BG on stage, and it for real, like it for real made it better. You know what I'm saying? Like they had to do that. It worked.
I was glad they squashed that beat, man, because I fuck with both sides. Yeah. So that was cool
to see. And I mean, like, the movement that BG was able to build on his own, too, it was very impressive.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, because if you remember at that time, BG started, like, everybody thought he was going to be G-Unit South because he was in all those Young Buck G-Unit South tapes on every song with Young Buck. He had a bunch of songs with him. But then out of nowhere, remember he was with T.I. I remember Double XL had the Grand Hustle cover, and it was – he was on the mixtape too, but it was T.I., Dro, Big Country, and BG. And that's like the era of – and Young Jeff, I'm saying, but that's when like 8-Ball and MJG ended up going to Grand Hustle, Killer Mike, all that, but – BG was the first one there. If you notice, he was on the first couple of T.I. albums.
So like, oh, yeah, they would fuck with each other hard.
So, like, that, it was, him and Wayne beefing at that time, I didn't like that either, man, because we were seeing Lil Wayne turn into something that we never thought. Like, I never saw Wayne. I mean, I knew Wayne was talented, but I never thought that Wayne would be this big. You know what I mean? Like, imagine being in a group like the Hot Boys, a multi-platinum group, and he has a million fans that, like, never even listened to that. You know what I mean? Like, that's how big Lil Wayne got.
Yeah, that's crazy. I never even thought about it like that. A lot of his fans probably don't even know who the damn Hot Boys is. That's crazy thing about it. A lot of his new fans probably don't, never even heard of
Hot Boy. Yeah, like, and if they know that about Wayne, like, they turn it on, they're like, oh, what the fuck is this? Like, that's not why they like Lil Wayne. They don't, like, because Lil Wayne evolved from that. He wasn't making hot boy music no more. You know what I mean? Like, he went beyond that. He separated himself from that. And he did that intentionally, which was a good move for him. Look where I put him. Like, he wanted to go beyond New Orleans, so he didn't want to just be associated as part of a New Orleans rap group, which is a smart move by him. You know what I mean? And, yeah, he has plenty of fans. He came from a multi-platinum group. Like, think about it. Wayne doesn't get any, like, nobody ever mentions how he's even in Back That Ass Up. We just talk about how big that song is. Nobody even gives a fuck that Lil Wayne is in that song. Like, yeah, he don't have, like, a full verse. He just says, like, the job like a hot thing. But nobody ever talks about how, like, that's a massive record, and he's in that record. But nobody really gives a fuck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he don't get the credit for just in cover bars, but, like, that song was more than just a song. You know,
the only time they would mention him is when they were beefing with him and they were dissing him, like wobbly 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 wobbly. That's the only way they mention him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if you think about it, that's a perfect way to end that song, though. You know what I mean? Like, he just says some cool shit and that's it. Like, that's pretty creative on that part to do that shit. Like, everybody remembers those couple bars. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it was smart to not let him go full 16 right there. He just added a couple bars that everybody will remember forever, and then it just goes right back into the end of the song. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit was hard. Think about how much shit Lil Wayne has done, and nobody ever even counts that as part of his legacy. That asshole. Like, that's wild as hell. Like, he got so much shit. And like I said, man, there's so many fans of his that, like, they never once listened to a Hot Boys record, and they probably never even listened to his solo records, like Block Is Hot, 500 Degrees. Like, they never even listened to that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, me and LOG talked about this, actually, how Lil Wayne has sections of fans. He has people that love the Hot Boys. He has the lyrical people that just like Mixtape Wayne. Like, Mixtape Wayne is like a part of his career. That's like, you know what I mean? Like, he has people that don't listen to the Carters. They don't listen to any of that shit. They just listen to Mixtape Wayne. Then he has people that love the Carters shit. Then he has all, like, the Young Money fans. Like, the people that listen to Nicki Minaj and Drake. You know, like,
Wayne got three different types of fans.
Three eras. Like, subgenres on his own. Like, that's kind of what it is if you think about it. He has, like, enough material for, like, the whole subgenre of his career. So you have to break his career down like that. That's pretty wild, man. Like, that's very impressive that he's able to accomplish that shit. You know what I mean? But, man, I'm telling you, New Orleans, man, all you guys down there, so much talent that there's so many people that are going to blow up that sound different than the other guys from New Orleans. And
that's the thing, yeah, everybody sounds different, man. Nobody sounds alike right now. Everybody got their own style. Yeah.
And that's great, man. And like I said,
back in the day, you used to be able to really tell when a motherfucker was from New Orleans. These days, you can't even really tell unless they say they really from there.
A lot of people, you just pick up references. We got a lot of transplants.
Yeah, true.
I guess that would go for every area, though. Like, I bet there's a lot of people that people are crediting as California, but they're not really from California. They just live there now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I bet that kind of happens a lot.
Like I said,
the one thing I'm happy for, though, is when people grow up from New Orleans,
soon as you start to just search for other artists from New Orleans, eventually you're going to find 80% of all the rappers in one. You can trace everybody back to them. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to gain fans out of curiosity this in the next couple of years. And
I definitely agree with that.
So, that begs the question, Paul, what can we expect from you in the near future?
I mean, I'm about to, honestly, man, like before me and Sam dropped this tape, I kind of like stepped away from music for like a year just to get, you know, just to deal with shit in life, you know what I'm saying? But Sam always, you know, he always on my ass like, man, you got to do it, you got to do music. So I'm kind of back into it now. I'm a, probably after he dropped his Alabama album, I'm going to drop this album called, I think I'm going to call it Airplane Mode. But I'm going to drop that probably like 10 songs. I'm going to do that. And I'm also going to drop, like when I drop the album, I want to drop a clothing line with it called Airplane Mode. So it's going to kind of be like a collab. So that's what I'm pretty much working on right now.
I like that, man. Like the airplane mode. I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, no, I'm going to fuck with it, man. I'm going to fuck with it.
I appreciate it.
You know that.
I definitely seen you that shit. I appreciate it, man. Appreciate the support.
Yeah, man. You know, you can ask me, bro. Like, when you say, like, yeah, man, anything you need from us, like, you want to come back on, you want us to play a record, you want us to post something. Like, bro, Sam tags me, you know, 10 times a week. And anything he's doing, whether it's a clothing line, like whether it's just one of his boys that needs put out there a little more, like I want that shit. You know what I mean? Like I try to do my part. Like, you know, no matter how many followers people have, anything, like and say I got 1,500 followers, there might just be 10 people that actually need to pay attention to that shit. But, bro, that's 10 people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're 10 people. They, each one of them might bring 10 people. Like, you never know who's going to see what. So I try to show everything some love. You know what I mean? And I get behind the artists I really rock with. Like, you know, I used to try to interview everybody, man. You know what I mean? I used to do that shit, and I was on a different show. And these dudes, the show that we're on right now, I just bumped into these dudes and had them as guests on my show, and they had me as a guest on this show.
I was at that old show.
I just got out of prison and just called. Like, I saw a dude online. He probably told me to call in. I called in, and that just led to me becoming a co-host. Like, I never planned to do it. You know what I mean? And,
man,
I interviewed, like, crazy people. You know, like, people I like looked up to, you know what I mean? Like, I'd be like MC Shan and Dr. Dre from Yo MTV Raps and Tupac's brother Mopreme and the Outlaws and shit. And like, I was fresh out of prison. Like, I didn't mean to do all that, but like, just like you said, you took a break. I had to walk away from it. Like, I just had a lot of shit going on. I lost my mom and my brother and shit. A lot of shit going on.
Oh, yeah.
I walked away. I just came back recently. And I came back because, like, you know, I love hip-hop, man. I love shit from all, you know, I could sit here the way we just talked about New Orleans. I mean, I can have those conversations about everywhere, about Flint, Detroit, Cali, the Bay, you know, of course, like the East Coast. I know the East Coast like the back of my hand. I love the East Coast, too. You know, I got love for everywhere. But there's just something about New Orleans, man, like, and that, like,
yeah, man, you gotta. I heard you say you never been down there, man. You gotta get down there.
I've never been here, but here's what's crazy, man. I've asked like a few people this, like LOG and Magnolia Levy and everybody. I asked them this, like, I wondered if New Orleans even knew, like, that there's like, if I put a blindfold on you and brought you to the inner city of Pittsburgh. I mean, you're gonna hear the word "cuz" a lot because, like, in the early '90s, like the Crips came here and shit. This people, like, it's a Crip city.
like a couple of dead niggas, but mainly it's explicitly. So you're gonna hear like that, them kind of words here and there. And we got like our own shit. Like we have a few things we say like specific to our city. But bro, a lot of the slang used here, Wody, oh that's my round. You heard me, bro. It's all what? New Orleans, bro. If you don't believe me, you know, remember Hardo from T.I.'s label,
yeah.
The dude Hardo?
Yeah.
Bro,
yeah.
Go look, go check him out. Look at this songs he has. Letter to Soulja Slim, Free BG, Free C Murder, all kinds of Soulja-themed music. And, bro, like, it's, that's not an isolated thing. There's a rapper here in Pittsburgh. His name's Pittsburgh Slim. Like, you would think you were in New Orleans, man. Like, if you couldn't see and you just heard, you would think you were in New Orleans. If you were, especially people my age, like late 30s, you would think, oh, shit, am I in New Orleans? Until you start hearing, like, cuz, and there's, like, other words that we say that, like, you know, that aren't from New Orleans. But a lot of the slang, if you go to state prison in Pennsylvania, that's how you know Philly, like, because Philly has their way of talking. That's how you know someone's from Pittsburgh. If they say cuz or if they say Wody, you know they're from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That's how common it is. And that's not just Pittsburgh. Like, I learned, like, paying attention to people online and listening to other music. But there's, like, Savannah, Georgia. There's Jacksonville. There are even Chicago. Certain neighborhoods in Chicago. You listen to some of them rappers, man, they make a lot of New Orleans. Man, on King Von's album, the dude from O Block, his name's Prince Dre, he's like King Von's Young Buck.
Yeah.
First song.
Oh, yeah, I heard that song. Yeah.
He's on King Von's album, and he's like, I'll be in the middle with a chopper like I'm Soulja Slim. And, bro, if you listen to more of his songs, he has a bunch of New Orleans references. Bro, there's a bunch of those little pockets all over the country that, like, even if it's just a Soulja Slim influence or, you know, Hot Boys influence, New Orleans has penetrated a lot of cities or something. Like, you got to speak to a certain type of motherfucker, dude. I'm telling you. I'm not being biased here. I'm just saying there's something, like, you got to speak to a certain kind of person. You know what I mean by that? Like, and we recognize each other when we see each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can tell somebody influenced by that shit the minute I see them, just the way they carry themselves and, you know what I mean, how they talk to people and all that. Like, but, yeah, New Orleans has penetrated so many different areas, man. And, like, I thought about it the one day, like, bro, like, Soulja Slim never really got to be worldwide when he was worldwide. Because he was locked up, and then he died. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, slow motion, like, you know, usually when someone dies, their songs will blow up and they'll sell and all that shit. Man, slow motion blew up. Not because someone died. Like, you know, that song blew up because it was a hot record.
Yeah,
Slim,
it's going to blow up no matter what. Yeah, it's going to blow up no matter what.
Yeah, you know? And, like, I realized, like, oh, shit, like, Slim probably never did one show in Pittsburgh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he probably never came to Pittsburgh and saw, like, oh, shit, this is the, you know, like, if I call my homie and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, man, just riding around, like, bumping Slim. He's not riding around listening to music. He's in a mind frame. Like, that's like an activity here. You know what I'm saying? Like, when someone says they're listening to Slim, you know that they're like, they're focusing. Like, they're in their own little vibe right now. Like, that's how big Slim is here. And there's many places like that. And we got the love for everybody in New Orleans. And we look at all you guys, you know, talking to Sam. That's talking to Soulja Slim in my book. Like, everybody's just as important as the next one. And we treat, you know, us fans, we like to treat you guys like that. Because, like, man, y'all really mean something to us. Y'all aren't rappers to us, y'all aren't artists to us. And, like, we really rock with y'all. There's a
like a lifestyle and a culture behind what you guys have spit, you know, the way that that shit spoke to us. Well, like, we,
yeah.
You know, we owe that to all of you, whether you got 5 songs or 5,000, you know,
yeah.
We try to treat you guys as what you deserve to be treated. And I don't give a fuck if I'm the only person that interviews you for this album. I'm just glad that you know what you're doing is worth doing, bro. Like,
man, I appreciate that shit, man. That's a real shit.
It's speaking to a certain type of dude, man. And we really rock with you, man. And Sam knows he can tag me every day in music when he needs something play.
Yeah.
I got him. I've proved that to him. He's been solid with me. And you're in that category as well, man. Anything you need from us, we're here for you, bro. And you can tag me all you want when you got the next album. We'll plug the shit out of your album. You seen how many times I posted you guys' album? Man, I made it my avatar on Instagram and shit. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, I plugged the shit out of
it. That's some real shit, man. Like, you rarely find people like that. Like, motherfuckers I grew up with don't even do that. So that's some real shit, and I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, man, you know. I just try to do my part, and like I said, man, like, there's a few people I've interviewed, they're like, I really rock with them. Sam's one of them. Levy's one.
Yeah.
Dirt Tire. LOG. Like, man, I hold all of you guys in, like, high regard, man. Like, I respect you guys a lot. And, man, like, you know you got, if nobody supports you, you know you got us. Like, but I hope you guys get the love y'all deserve on this project because you guys support everybody else. And you do that shit for free. You don't ask for nothing back. You don't, you know, you do that shit for the right reason, just to show what love y'all put on for your city. You know, anybody listen, that's Fly and Samo. What was it? 3-7? Is that the name of it?
7-3.
7-3, my bad. 7-3. Yeah. Sam on Fly. 5-7, my bad. Man, I'm telling you, anybody listening, go download that shit right now. I love the album. I'm stuck on it, man. And I'm going to continue sharing it and everything. And, I'm going to go ahead and let you close this one out. I want you to tell everybody where they can find you online. Plug anything you got, man. Like, tell them where they can hear the album. Anything you got coming up. Anything at all, man. And like I said, anytime you need something posted, need us here on the show to do something for you, just let me know, man. I got you 100%.
For sure, so yeah, I'm definitely gonna tap in, man. But yeah, I mean, y'all can pretty much follow me on all social media platforms. At Fly7, that's PHLYE, number 7. Y'all go run those streams up on that 7-3 album. Me and my brother Samo. Right after that, he's dropping that off Belmont. Y'all look out for that shit. Then I'm coming right behind him with the Airplane Mode, man. And we're going up from there. Y'all be on the lookout for the Airplane Mode. The collab is going to be a clothing line as well. So stay tuned, man. We're coming with some shit. And I appreciate y'all for having me on the show.
Definitely, man. Of course. I mean that anytime, brother. Thank you very much, man. Thank
definitely,
you for
definitely.
Time,
we appreciate you.
Again,
thank you.
Congratulations on the album, man, for real. All
right, man. Appreciate y'all again, man. Y'all be safe out
there.
Definitely. Yes, sir. All right, man.
All right.
Peace, man. T-Max, thank y'all, man. I really appreciate y'all, man.
Always, we appreciate you, Pat. Thank you so much again, man. Thank you.
Man, yo, T-Max, you know what we got coming up, right?
What's that?
Hey, you ain't telling?
Yeah, we're going to be on the Master P Worldwide Tour.
Hell no. Nah, we got some guests coming up, man. I got a couple of big guests here in the near future.
Okay.
We got MC Juice. from Chicago. He's the dude that beat Eminem.
Rap Olympics against Eminem, yeah.
He got him. He beat him at Scribble Jam. The other dude, what's the other dude's name? Who was the guy that beat him at the rap level? Was it Otherwise or something like that?
It might have been. It might have been. Yeah.
Yeah. I know Juice was Scribble Jam. That's when he beat him. And what's crazy is last time I interviewed dude, like, bro, if you Google MC Juice, Eminem, like, of course, like, their battle will come up, but then you'll find, like, a bunch of stories with the headline, like, MC Juice says he could still beat Eminem. That's from my interview, from me interviewing him. He said that, and, like, it went viral and shit. Well, I don't know if he knows this, but when Eminem was just on Mike Tyson's podcast last year, Eminem was talking about that, and he said, yeah, man, I went, you know, to the wire with this dude from Chicago at Scribble Jam in Cincinnati. His name was MC Juice, and he's like, I almost had him, but, you know, he got me. And he's like, but that dude is so fucking good that I don't even care that he beat me. Like, I don't know if Juice knows that, like, Eminem says that today. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty high praise. You know what I'm saying? Like, for Eminem to even, like, I mean, look, you know the story of Eminem. There's a lot of people that he won't even mention that, like, he used to mention. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of things that he won't even bring up just because of, like, just, you know, drama and shit. So for him to even, like, acknowledge Juice, like, he's the one that brought the shit up. You know what I mean? And, like, to this day, he still gives him that respect, like, that's how good dude is, you know. But, yeah, so we got MC Juice coming up. But then I think that's what, next Friday, Eric?
Yes, sir.
And then May 1st, we got Mims, bro.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Motherfucking music is my savior, bro. We got fucking Mims. Like, I'm pretty excited for Mims. Like, real shit. Like, everybody always talks about this is why I'm hot and shit. I'm excited for this interview, bro. Like,
you know, and it's wild,
there's just so much we can talk to that dude about. And I think that interview might be pretty big, too. Like,
it is.
I'm very excited for it. Like,
we can kind of give our audience. We can kind of give our audience a bit of a preview with it, because when you think about it, he dropped, what, is two albums that I know of. But, you know, the fact of, you know, and you're just as much of the family as anybody, Pat, you know, being a student of the culture and being one of us. And when you know, so you understand from a journalist perspective, just like King and myself, what an artist has to go through to put out an album. And the fact that just getting an album out is something special.
So,
and to have at least one song you heard.
Mims is one of those guys.
Like,
Mims is one of those dudes that people will even make fun of that record. This is why I'm hot. They'll say, oh, it wasn't lyrical. He's a one-hit wonder. Blah, blah, blah. Bro, tell me when that song comes on, you're not excited to hear it.
Take you back to a different area where life was normal.
Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not the most lyrical song. You might not put it on your playlist or anything like that. But if you're listening to the radio and that song comes on, you're like, oh, okay. Like, bro, it's a good song. I don't care what anybody says. It's a good fucking song. Like,
it is.
I don't care. It's not. Dude, he made a catchy fucking song. And if you really think about it, now, that beat is a classic beat. How many times have you heard somebody rap on that beat?
Exactly.
Like, everybody did. Like, the dude put out a smash fucking hit. So, one, he deserves credit for that. And two, there's a million remixes to it. And if you remember the actual albums, the remixes, the 500 each so many times. But he showed love to everywhere in that. He's like, showed love to the Bay, the hyphen movement, down south, the Midwest. Like, he showed love to like all the different like subgenres and different codes of hip hop made that song universal for everybody. And no matter what you say about that record, everybody knows this fucking song. Bro, it's a good song. Like I said, it might
and
be
he's
going to
eat off, and Pat, he's going to eat off that the rest of his life. He's going to make money off
exactly
of that.
Exactly what I was just about
life.
To say. That what I was just about to say was there might be people that are saying he's a one-hit wonder or whatever. I just wonder how many lifetimes he could survive off of just that record. Like, bro, he made a fucking smash hit. Like, you know, that's hard to fucking do, to make a song that's that fucking big. You know what I mean? And he never has to fucking rap again, for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether people like him or not, he made his mark. He has a historic place in rap music.
Absolutely.
And that's not an overstatement. That he hasn't, you know, he made history. Everybody knows that song. No matter what anybody says about it, everybody knows that song. That's important. That's hard to do in hip hop, to have a song that everybody knows when it comes on. There's only a, you know, a few songs like that. As soon as you hear them, you know it. You know what I mean? Like that, and like Still Tipping is one of those songs. But like, as soon as you hear it, like, oh, I know this song. You know what I mean? Everybody knows that shit. So, we're going to talk to Mims about that record, about how he was, I want to know how he was treated. Because you got to think of when that song come out, how he was treated by New York, where he's from. Did New York like him? The hip-hop heads in New York, did they show him love? Did they hate on him? Like, you know what I mean? I want to know what the other rappers did, how the rappers treated him. You know what I mean? Like, and how, when that song first came out, I think he was, like, tagged as a one-hit wonder from the start. And I don't think, like, that's kind of the way I remember it. So I don't even know, like, if he even got, like, a fair shake from the fans. Like, I just think, like, everybody heard that song and was just like, man, he's going to be a one-hit wonder, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, nobody just fucked with him after that for some reason. Hip-hop's weird like that, bro. Like, everybody actually did it listen to Ja Rule. How many fucking people do you know today that will proudly say they listened to Ja Rule? Everyone acts like they didn't listen to him. Like, the motherfucker sold how many fucking albums? Who the fuck bought them then? You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
People act like they didn't listen to Ja Rule. Motherfuckers, everybody listened to Ja Rule. Everybody had a Ja Rule CD at one point in their fucking life. Whatever.
Or single, because I got one.
Or, yeah. I still have, like, Rule, what is it, Rule 336 or whatever? I still have that shit.
Yeah.
I think I might even have Blood in My Eyes somewhere around here. But everybody had a Ja Rule record. You know what I mean? And everybody loves I'm from New York. But that's not Fat Joe and Jadakiss' song. That's a Ja Rule record. It's on his album. Everybody listens to Ja Rule at some point.
They be acting like Ja don't exist in the song, yo.
What's that?
They act like Ja don't even exist in the song.
Yeah. And, but everybody says that Kiki killed his career. So, like, yeah, he won the battle. All right. But, bro, Ja Rule still has hit records during and after that beat. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was still making moves. Clapback was a hit. New York was a hit. Like, Ja was still doing shit. Like, the Fed took his label, bro. Like, he couldn't release music for a while. So, like, I think history just misremembers shit. Like, yeah, 50 got the best of him in the battle, but he didn't kill his career. Like, he was still putting out music that was successful. And then the feds arrested his label. Like, so he didn't put anything out. You know what I mean? Like, that's what happened. Like, but for some reason, we all act like no one ever listened to him. You know what I mean? So disrespectful shit. Like, Drake is the new Ja Rule. Fuck out of here. Deal with the house. Like, we're not doing this shit. No, he's not.
They Men in Black, Ja Rule, man. They were like, yo, we ain't never listened to this dude. He ain't even legit.
Yeah, bro. Like, it's fucking like the way people just act like there was never that period where, like, Jay, DMX, and Ja Rule, all three of them, were the most popular artist in New York for a while. For a couple of
it's
years.
It's just a shame that album. It's just a shame that album didn't come out.
That would have been great. Think about, those are like the biggest what ifs ever. Like, imagine, like, if everything that was supposed to happen happened, that means that we would have got the Commission album by
Biggie
and Jay.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
And think about this, if Biggie didn't die, Cameron wouldn't have been with Jay-Z. He would have been with Biggie. People forget that.
Yeah.
Like, he was part of Biggie shit. And he was with Lance. Lance was there. And so, but however, if Big L didn't die, he was going to be with Rockefeller.
Remember,
Jay and Dan were really trying to sign Big L and Scarface. They really wanted Scarface. It just never officially happened or nothing. But imagine if both of them would have been on Rockefeller. Big L, Scarface, Jay, and Danny Siegel. Like, what?
And we possibly could have that Danny Siegel Scarface album.
I know, Mac and Brad. That would have happened. I was going to name that. That was going to happen. But then we would have got DMX, Ja, and Jay-Z's album. Think about how good all three of them were at that time. Think like 1998, 1999. Bro, that would have been insane. Like, there's no way it could have been whack if you think about it. Like, there's just no way. Because all those guys all worked with each other. You got pieces of everybody on each other's music and shit. It all came from the same people, and everybody was connected in some way. So, like, it would have been impossible to fuck that album up. You know what I mean? It would have been impossible. That would have been crazy if you would have got that album. You know what I mean? Like, it just changed everything. Imagine them three with a song with Scarface, another song with Siegel. Like, they was working with Cash Money a little bit here and there, so they could throw in a song with Juvie or something. Bro, that shit could have been something combo. Crazy. But look, man, we got a long-ass episode, man. I talked you guys' asses off tonight, man. I apologize.
And we loved every minute of it.
Yeah, bro. Fucking... I thought it was a good episode. I think Sly enjoyed it. Sam enjoyed it. It's cool that they both came on since they dropped a collab album. You know. But, all right, man. I'll let you guys go. Y'all have a good, safe week. Next Friday, I'll see you guys. I'll be talking to you. How was the K Reno interview the other night?
It went good. It went good.
I was going to call in, man, and I got tied up. I mean, I've interviewed Kay Reno a bunch of times. You know, he's a good dude, man. I wanted to chime in with him real quick, but I just couldn't find the time. But, yeah, I'm glad it went well. But, yeah, man, I'll talk to you guys next week for MC Juice, and then we'll have the men's interview coming up. I think I'll get a lot of dumb business coming up for you guys. I might call in for that one. But
okay.
I know you guys got a bunch of shit coming up. So, everybody stay tuned, man, and follow all of us, man. And there's a lot of big shows coming up. Looking forward to all of them. I'm signing off. I appreciate you guys, and thank you very, very much. And everybody go get that CMO Fly album. Available now, man. It's all over my page, so you can see it. But, Off the Cuff Radio. Thank you, guys.
Thank you again, Pat. We love you, man. Thank you so much again.
Love y'all, man. Peace.
All right. Peace. And we out.